Hello and welcome in to an episode, I don't think I can say another episode because it's been too long, an episode of Podcast 63 here with fucking Lou. It has been some time since the last episode, well over 2 months. I think the summer just kind of got away from us. Both of us have had some pretty busy schedules, some life changes, some schedule changes, but we have always continued to talk about our Ramblers, and now we are excited to be able to both be sitting in front of our microphones and talk for all you, because there has been some Rambler news in the past like few weeks especially, and it just so happened that today, even before we knew about it, we were going to record anyway. There's some, I guess, like breaking Ramblers news, so we're going to talk about that, but Lou, how you been? And yeah, just tell us what we got scheduled for today.
Yeah, it's been a long summer. Not gonna lie, I've been enjoying that Chicago summer. So it's been a lot of fun. But I think this was a very funny timing day. I think we texted the other day because we got some insider info, and we were like, oh, hey, let's just record. Let's record something again, chat about it. And then other news broke today, and it was like, wow, what a whole jumble of things to happen. Really, I think the thing to kick off is going to be we're under 100 days until opening night, pretty much, right? Again, that first week of November is always around the beginning of the season, and that's what we're under right now. So it's crazy to think we're under 100 days away. It was just you and I at Barclays Center at the A10 tournament. So very time goes very quick, so I'm happy we get one in here. But yeah, I think today we're gonna go over again 100 days, again the breaking news with the coaching staff, kind of an update on recruiting. There was gonna be breaking news, and we'll talk into that in more detail, schedules so far, and then maybe if we got time, really just some fun hypotheticals when it comes to the conference realignment stuff that's going on, and again the big whole NCAA picture, especially with the college football program. So that's what we got. Again, excited to be back behind a mic, and excited to just talk Loyola basketball.
Yeah, so am I. I mean, I'll just kind of get it started. But, man, you're giving me some stress here with that under 100 days. Like, that makes me think about my schedule, and, like, I'm super excited for it. But I'm sure, like, one big difference between D1s and non-D1s is that they can be practicing this whole time, right? So our Ramblers have been practicing. We've seen some footage of that. There's been some stuff on Instagram, and it's always cool to see those new guys and the maroon and gold, right? Like Miles and Dame and you know, Dez and stuff, all those guys. Like, it's been cool to watch them. But yeah, I'm a little nervous. Under 100 days. Whew, I got some work to do. But yeah, our Ramblers under 100 days. We just kind of started looking at the schedule. There's some games. We'll get to that, you know, here too. But yeah, let's start with recruiting. I feel like that's a good place to start. I'm sure it's like what a lot of people want to know about, because as you all know, that's the lifeblood of the program, right? Is recruiting. But Lou was mentioning that we did have some news that we were kind of made privy to just like last week about a commitment. And although, like, I don't really think it's our place to say who, it was a talented player, well thought of, I wouldn't say highly ranked, but ranked in those, like, in that sort of 100 to 250 level, who had made a verbal commitment to the team and now is rethinking his options. So that is definitely something for us all to keep our eyes on. But I just think, you know, we'll keep talking about it here, but just like knowing that that's the range that I think we're working in, and it's like, it's very exciting to get someone close to that level, like Miles Rubin, right? Or like Marquise Kennedy when he came through. That type of player is really talented, something we can work with, and who knows, maybe one of these years we'll hit on like a top 100 guy. It's just kind of maybe a matter of time and just being in the right place at the right time. But what are you thinking about, Lou?
Yeah, again, that's what sparked this kind of just moment to get back in recording. We did get some info around the recruit. And it, again, it just sparked it because I think we talked about it. There was a crystal ball. That's what sparked mine. I got a notification, or I saw that we got a crystal ball on 247. And it was kind of hit me. I was like, yeah, this time last year we already had Miles and then, again, his brother, Wes, before Wes decommitted. But we already had kind of Miles out of AAU circuit, right? We're at the tail end of the summer, so AAU circuit's pretty much wrapping up and everything. Peach Jam happened and all that. So to think we hadn't had any type of recruiting, and to be quite honest with you, we have a lot more spots to fill than just the two that we had to with the two scholarships, of course, of seniors last year, right? So, or this past season. So we got the news, and then it just happened to fall out today, we found out, from two sources. So, again, that it might be upsetting and cool, but, again, I think now it just started that idea that, like you said, Buck, we're going after some players that I did research and just tracked down. We are sitting in that comfortable range of, like, hey, maybe a top 100 will reach here, but consistently it's 250 or higher. Again, according to the rankings, right? Someone could argue right now on this podcast that where was Cameron Crutwig's ranking? Yet not in the 250s. Yes, I get it. I get it. And the rankings, again, we could say the same thing with Steph. Go see that documentary. I thought it was pretty cool. Dame, all the names, right? Some of the guys were 3 stars, not even ranked or recruited. But I think, though, it still holds value for us, especially with NIL level, right? The whole game of recruiting has changed. I think to be able to go out and reach for top talent is totally fine. But also understand, right? Like, look at Jack Turner. I really, really like Jack Turner. We have a commit from him. He doesn't technically have any ranking, and I think that's crazy. Mm-hmm. So again, it's the highs and lows of recruiting. And I joked with you a few months ago, the guy who created them all has literally created almost every single recruiting website. He's just sold one off and created the other one. So to really distinguish themselves is really odd. I think the only difference he didn't create was ESPN, but he's created On3, 247, Rivals. He's created the big ones. So the recruiting ranking doesn't matter, in my opinion, too much. But what does matter, I think, is that we're recruiting definitely a different amount of kind of like the schema of things, right? We're recruiting big guys. We're recruiting guards, right? I think we were competing against Notre Dame for Cole Serta out of Illinois here. So, yeah, it's really cool to see. I don't know, Buck, if you have a name, but, again, I always look at still right now on my list is Brody. I'm not going to probably pronounce his last name, Kozlowski, out of mm-hmm. Utah. I like him. Dayton Forsyth, we thought we were going to go after him, went to Oklahoma. So, though, it's still like I'm getting attached to these guys, and then you're like, oh, wait, can you commit already? So the recruiting trail, I think, is interesting. Was kind of hoping for a commit sometime this summer, but totally I think you might see some dominoes fall right before the senior year begins for some of these guys. What do you think, Buck?
Yeah, I think just like you said, you have a name. And there is one guy, he actually just visited, I think it was like last week or something like that. He's a 6'7", 6'8", like forward, like sort of wing player. Yeah, August 4th was his visit. Seku, this is his last name. Kone, maybe? K-O-N-N-E-H. And yeah, I think he's like a 150, a top 150 guy. I think I saw his ranking somewhere, but maybe I made that up. But I like that type of player, right? That 6'7", 6'8". Like, I just think there's a lot there. And we've seen that type of player be successful at Loyola, whether it's Uguac or, you know, Ryan Schweiger, or, like, now we're seeing with Ben Schweiger. So yeah, I just, that kind of player, I think, especially in the A-10, is something that's such an important piece. And in addition to all the guards that have been visiting, a lot of those guards are in that 6'4", 6'5" range. And then these like wings that we're seeing are like 6'7", 6'8". So, yeah, this one that sticks out to me, recently that, just would be really excited to see if they can figure out a way to get him to commit to Chicago and come play with Loyola.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, I did see, again, he came on a visit. I don't know if it was his official visit, but it was really cool to see him at the photos. I think he tweeted that he, again, came on August 4th, like you said, just a few days ago. But, yeah, no, for me with Seku, and, again, if we're saying it wrong, someone let us know, but he's in the Milwaukee area. So that was, for me, a big, like, hey, we're going to contend there, because there have been years where Iowa State has scooped up two guys mm-hmm. out of the Milwaukee area. Again, now Marquette, right, with Shaka Smart getting guys to maybe stay in that area. So I do think, again, the Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan route is always solid with players. And I think it's really cool to be able to maybe call on that. Not saying, again, they have to be. But I do think it's a very nice way to add some dynamic to the recruiting trail. But, yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. I think a lot of these guys I'm excited for just because of the size and athleticism, right? You look at again, Kowalski, right, Brody, and it's like he's kind of big and he's quick. I like that a lot. And, again, some of these guards, even I just really do like Jack, who's committed already, very quick and to the rim. And I think that's where you look at, again, the Fordham last year, the St. Joe's, just when you have depth guard play, and then all of a sudden, like a very athletic small forward who can just come in at that 6'7" level or height makes an impact. And I think that those are the seeds that are being planted on the recruiting trail, and it's really fun to see for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely is. And just to like kind of circle back to that like, you know, we're in that 100 to 200 range of players. Like, really, I think all it takes is just the right kid that wants to come to Chicago. There really is. All it takes is, like, we're in that ballpark. We're recruiting those kids. Like, and a lot of time, you know, I'm sure these coaches don't give a toot about, like, where they're ranked, right? They don't care about that. But still, like, that type of player, it just takes the right kid to want to be in Chicago, want to come play for the program that's been, you know, in the NCAA tournament and been a couple Sweet 16s recently and Final Four and all that. Like, it just really depends on the kid, I think. And, you know, we know that this staff can recruit. We know that this staff can get transfers if need be. So all it takes is the right place at the right time. And one of these times we'll land on one.
Yeah, I think I'll wrap it up there. You're absolutely right. I think Drew said it, was it last year? That he's had conversations with guys and it's like, oh, you're really cool, but like I want to like look at other places or something like that, but I'll like keep you in mind. And I think Drew even said he might have said it at the A10 media day, he was like, he wants guys that are like in it, not like, oh, it's cool, like the focus is, yeah, that's where I see myself and that's where I want to be. So I think you're absolutely right. I think that's a great way to kind of sum it up of where we sit. It's like the staff gets invested, and I think Drew definitely gets invested in finding guys that they like, but that they can fit well. And again, we might be cliche here, but like that fit the culture that's trying to be done in Rogers Park by the lake, right? So yeah, I think it there might be a standard that might be high for some, but I think it's a standard that's worth committing to, and to that level for sure. So no, I think that's recruiting. Again, no big commits. We thought we might have some insight there, but again, sadly, it was all just verbal, no tweets or anything. So we'll see that. But again, there was a crystal ball for it if you want to go check that out. So yeah, Buck, I think, again, in talking about recruiting, right, it's about the staff that goes out there and recruits. We did have that kind of breaking news today with our staff. Nothing really official from our side, but everything as official as a John Rothstein tweet kind of makes it official, right? But good old Clayton Custer is leaving the staff as I don't know if you count him as assistant coach.
Does he actually count if he didn't step foot? Yeah, he signed a contract, so
he probably signed the lease and everything too. So but he's heading back to Norman. He's heading back to Oklahoma to Porter. Again, I don't know if people follow, but just college basketball. Porter lost an assistant coach, Emmanuel Dildy, a former assistant at Loyola. He's now actually headed on to Duke. So a big step up there, I think, there for Emmanuel. But, yeah, Clay's been back on campus maybe, what you could say, 3.5 months. Maybe by the time we last had an episode, Clay was
honestly, I think it was. I think that's literally
was an assistant, and then now our episode back, he's no longer an assistant. So maybe we need to record in between.
that's why he didn't stay.
I think that's why he was like, "It's been too long. It's been too long." So yeah, and again, we actually didn't, to our part, really talk about the coaching staff that was again reshaped to two spots who had left, right? But yeah, Clay filled in an assistant role that came up. Amara Morgan, of course, left to go to California. And then who am I blanking on?
Oh, man, me too. I don't know.
Not Amaro. I have it here. Sorry. Yeah, Patrick Wallace has gone over to Iona.
Right.
Tobin. He's gone over to Iona to follow Tobin Anderson, who was the head coach there, Fairleigh Dickinson. So, yeah. So, and then my favorite one so far was Will Bailey. Did come in to fill one of those spots, a former assistant at SLU. You got to give it out to West Pine. I feel like he had the scoop for months that Will Bailey was leaving, and nothing official came out. But, yeah, so Drew went out and filled, I think, again, a solid pedigree of coaching Will Bailey there and knowing the A-10 and having that experience there at SLU under a program that has been pretty dominant in the A-10 for sure. And then, again, Clay, I think you and I have talked off mic here, but Clay, in my opinion, was going to fill kind of a very similar role, I thought, to Brian Mullins, right? A very young, recent player that had played, especially had played for that team or in that conference. And I think that would have been interesting. Sadly, again, now Clay is leaving, so that role of assistant coach will need to be filled. But we did get a few shining things, right? Keith Clemens is back, like we've tweeted. He's the director of player development, so that's always great to see. And then as well as we have a new Dobo, so director of basketball operations, and then a new video coordinator. Again, we had Washington last year. Who I actually don't know where he went off to. I'll follow that up and maybe we can say that for the next episode. But we had Kyle Washington, but now we have Dewey here from or Huey, sorry, Chris Huey from St. John's. It was already that laugh. So again, Drew, I don't think this is anything wrong, right? Especially I think Pat Wallace went to go get a little bit bigger role and responsibility. I think Amara Morgan went for the bigger conference, which, again, that's California, which we might see change again soon. So I do think it wasn't anything against Drew or the team. I do not think it was any reflection to the record, even though it was very poor last year. Right? But I did like some of the additions, and now we're going to have to fill one more spot here. But, Buck, what did you think overall? Also, what about the news? I think you and I have talked off mic about it, but what's your feeling?
Yeah, I think initially it was just like, come on, man. You know, like you didn't even get to see him. Like, it's such a tease. Like, right? It's like, oh, man, he gets to come back. Like, this is such a big deal. Like, he played for us. Like, I don't know if this is fair. Maybe there's a little bit of emotions. But, like, if he would have coached for, like, even two seasons, right? And then he got, like, a good gig somewhere else or whatever, associate head coach job or something like that. Like, that dude's a legend, like, for sure. I mean, he already is a legend at Loyola, but, like, then we're talking, like, you know, the upper echelon of just, like, Loyola greats. And now, like, yeah, he always has a spot in Loyola history, for sure. But I don't know, man. Like, I think there is a little bit of, like, oh, Final Four run. Remember, yeah, Clay was the Larry Bird Player of the Year. Oh, and, yeah, he was supposed to be the coach who left before he coached a game. Like, I just feel like there's always going to be that little asterisk next to him now. And that's kind of a bummer. Like, that's kind of just like a little bit of like a disappointment. I totally get it. Like, I personally, I don't know if I could ever do that. But also, I've never been in that situation, right? Like, I've coached for 3 months and like really haven't done any on-court stuff or whatever. But like, I just don't know how you could do that. Like, to the guys, you know some of these guys too, right? Like, he's already been on the team with some of these guys and, like, worked out with them and stuff. So it must have just been a really, really offer he couldn't refuse, right? Like, it must have been a really big pay increase. Or I mean, Oklahoma to Loyola, yeah, sure. Like, Oklahoma's obviously, like, a top-tier program. But I just – it's a bummer. But I understand how it could happen, and I do wish him the best. Personally, I'd buy him a beer, but I don't know that I'll buy his whole nights of drinks anymore. I think that's where I land. But what about you? How do you feel about it?
Yeah, it was definitely, it wasn't like a, oh yeah, it was like a, ooh. I think I've seen the classic, I guess you could say meme, just go out of the revolving door And yeah, it's very funny. I also think it's funny because it's Porter. He's going back to Porter. Not only is he did he leave, he's just going back to where he came from, and also it's the former coach. So I think those added on are maybe a little domino effect of things. But again, I think we have some kind of inside info, and I think we've been told the whole staff's happy for him. And I do agree, right? They're about to make that move to the SEC. So even that That's might right. even make it more of a not saying again the Big 12 isn't big basketball, right? You have Baylor, of course, right? National championships and everything, and Kansas. But I think there might have played into a thought of like, hey, again, still a bigger program. I totally understand that. Maybe, of course, the check makes a difference. I know he'll have to pay for some moving cost again. And that, but yeah, again, a little sour, but totally you're like, ah, good for him. But like you said, I think I really just want at least maybe 1 year under the belt of an assistant coaching job. And I've been like, ah, totally fine with the move. But I know again, all the best, to him. And again, he's nearly done enough for us. So maybe he'll come back and be the head coach, when Drew feels like he's done here. But yeah, definitely a tough one.
Yeah, does Clay, like, technically count under Drew's coaching tree then? Because he worked under him for a bit, or?
Do you know what? It's a tough one.
Lots of technicalities.
Yeah, exactly. I do think there's going to be a few asterisks maybe next to things regarding that. But, yeah, no, again, good for him. Congrats. Wish him all the best. Wish it was just one season. I don't know. Maybe better to have this than halfway through the season. That might have been even more tough, which I don't think I've ever really seen. But yeah. So, but though again, we did filled some coaching spots. Right, Will Bailey joined us. Keith Clemens, always happy to see that. I get that got announced again like on the same day, and we talked about that a little bit. But yeah, we'll see what we do. Again, it's kind of close. For a new coach to come in, especially one that's new, unless Amara Morgan comes back or Patrick comes back. So we'll see for sure. But yeah, overly excited to see if Drew tries to make a play and try to get someone. Again, he's got guys who had experience and who were coming up from maybe the lower conferences. So we'll see maybe what's in store there. But excited nonetheless to see that happen.
Yeah, do we want to throw out a couple names? Like, I know we were kind of talking about, like, other coaches, but you have any thoughts about who might be able to fill that role?
I did. We did talk about that. I think it's an interesting thing to think about. I'm going to throw out CJ Rivers. That is a name that people should be familiar with hearing, or at least I hope so. CJ was our GA for a little bit, and then went to become I think director of video or Dobo or at UIC, and then he's now at assistant coach at Colorado State where he played. So
I just kind of doing a little googling and trying to connect some dots. And
absolutely.
You know, we all know that Drew used to be a Michigan guy, or I mean he still is, but his playing days were at Oakland, and one of the assistants on the Oakland staff, I was like, oh, maybe one of Braden's old coaches wants to come back and coach him again, right, at Loyola. So there's a man by the name of Michael Covington, who is an assistant at Oakland, not their associate head coach, but just an assistant. He played under Greg Campy as well, so they got that little, you know, that little thing going for them.
Mm-hmm.
And we've known Drew to kind of work that Michigan angle, and Covington used to coach or was the program director for an AAU program in Detroit. So I don't know. I'm just like kind of thinking. I know there's like obviously like you throwing out CJ. What I've seen other names of like former Loyola coaches like. I don't know, maybe just take a little shot in the dark, and like he might want to bring on someone that's just new to the program, right? Bring him in and see what he could bring or see what someone might be able to bring from their program and add it to what we got going down here in at Loyola. So just a shot in the dark. Michael Covington.
Ooh, who likes? Yeah, that's always interesting to get a new face. Like, I think we've tried to – I know with Sean Dwyer here, right, we've been trying to open up the whole Ohio connection. Almost – I think three guys on the team are from Ohio with Dez and everything. But, no, I like it a lot. That's an interesting thought. I like it for sure. So, but, no, I think, again, tough one for sure to see Clay go. But, again – one of those things that just happens, and I think it's all for the best. Right, no, I think issues there. I think from what we've heard, it was all just very happy for him. Yeah, I think then moving on, the third thing, once you do recruiting, you got to have a schedule for the coaching staff to figure out what's going on, and that's kind of what we've been formulating, right? We're under 100 days. Teams have started to put out their non-conference for the year. I know George Washington, I know St. Joe's, but we have not. We are, I don't know, historically is one thing, but we have in recent years not been the quickest to get a good old schedule out there in as fast as I guess I would have liked to get the schedule out. But yeah, no, Buck, I do think we have some games pretty much pretty much talked about. I know we have to start off, or at least we think we might be one of the early games, right, is going to be Florida Atlantic at the Wintrust. I'll kind of just roll through here and then we can pick a game if you want, but we got Florida Atlantic, Eastern Illinois at home, UIC at home, aka Marcus Kennedy comeback, New Orleans at Gentile, and then we go play Creighton or Colorado State or Boston College at that MTE, Harvard at home, and then South Florida down in the Atlanta area. So yeah, very intriguing set of games for sure. But what do we think so far, or anything that really calls you out there?
Yeah, I'll take a little general approach and I'll pick a game. I think just overall that's a really solid, like, 9 games, whatever it is. Like, yeah, I just think, like, yeah, 8 games. Like, there's no, I mean, like, yeah, Eastern Illinois is probably not that great. Like, New Orleans, I have no idea, genuinely. I don't even know what they've done the past few years. But, like, Florida Atlantic, top 10 next year, easy. You know, UIC, like, they've had some decent years. I mean, more often than not, especially since moving to the Valley, they haven't. But, you know, they're in city, and that's always a great game in general. Then you got Creighton, great program. Then Colorado State and Boston College, those are both like good schools and have had really successful teams in recent memory. Harvard, I mean, Harvard is Harvard. I think everyone knows who they are. Like, that's either way, it's not going to be a bad loss. Like, it might be a good win. And then South Florida, who's been extremely successful. I don't know, maybe that's a little dramatic. They've been successful over the past like 5 or 10 years, right? So I just think it's a great start, and if we get like 3 more D1 games just in general, at least like maybe 2 home games, like I'm a happy camper. Like, I think this is a good start. I might just take the layup here, but that Florida Atlantic game is going to be crazy. Like, this feels like getting when we played Nevada at home after the Final Four year. Like, Nevada was a top 10 team, like, after that year, at least at the beginning of the season. And, yeah, just to get them, I know they're not playing at Gentile, but, like, it's probably even better to play them on a neutral court than it is to play them at home, and it's in Chicago. So, I think that's so cool. Like, I wonder how that conversation went down, but I got to imagine that is going to be a very talked about game, lots of publicity, big buildup. Like, you know, there's always the, first week of the season, what are the big games? Like, this is probably going to be one of them. I mean, I know we're not, like, projected to do extremely well, or even like maybe the top five of the A10. But you know, you get a program like ours who's been successful the past couple of years. I mean, we're both Cinderellas. Like, that is going to be the storyline, is Cinderellas collide. So I think that's awesome. I'm super stoked for that game, and I hope I can figure out a way to be there, but I don't know if that's going to happen just yet. But if I can figure it out, I will definitely be there. But yeah, what about you?
Yeah, no, I think that one's a great one. Very similar to our story. I think for me, the MTE this year is very interesting. I think you'll lose and everyone's going to be like, okay, like, you played tough teams. You win, and I think people are going to be like, ooh, this team can play with some good competition. So I think that's, for me, the MTE is like, it's actually a very tough MTE. I think even though we're only playing two games, again, Creighton, top 10, easily probably going to be considered again a contender, or at least a deep run in March. And then BC and Colorado State, not teams to really sleep on. Colorado State, definitely a power with the Mountain West and everything. So, yeah. Again, I think that's going to be something that could surprise or also just dictate maybe the vibe of the beginning part of the season. Again, taking the temperature different from last season, MTE, this MTE could also be a little bit more of a shocker, I think, and a benefit for sure. So, yeah, I think, again, overall, again, we were joking, but we'd love to see a DePaul series back again, but I don't think that's going to really happen. We might be surprised by it. Maybe you might see, I know we played Green Bay last year, so maybe that renews it. I think you and I choked, but it's really true. Usually you kind of get a kind of toward the another game right before finals, right? So we have, I know South Florida is on that 17th, so usually we have a big difference between this December 2nd and 17th, so we'll probably see two games or so planned there. So yeah, again, it's not finished, but it's pretty close from our detective skills as checking pretty much Twitter and all the known universes in the WWE or WWW, not WWE.
Both. Both. We're checking everywhere.
We're really checking everywhere. Anyone that has insight into the calendar there. But yeah, mm-hmm. Again, we're probably going to see something come September. Watch me though get called out and the schedule comes out tomorrow. Overall, excited to see this. And yeah, and I think that's just part of the process, right? It's recruiting, coaching, and scheduling is where we're kind of at. And again, we've had some big news there. But again, excited to see things shaping up. And we're under 100 days, like we said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really like around the corner. I mean, maybe it's around the corner and then like a little bend. But It's coming up. It's. I feel like it is fastly or quickly approaching, and I'm pumped for it. Do you want to take a couple minutes and like ramble about conference realignment? Because it is such a crazy thing that's going on.
Yeah, I think watch maybe the A10. I think if we're talking about conference realignment, I joke, but I see UMass potentially leaving. Just because they have a D1 FBS football team. So that's a pretty hot commodity to have, right? You see Cincinnati go to the Big 12, so maybe UMass joins the American or something, even though they brought in teams. Who knows, right? But, yeah, again, I've said it, right? The A10, to me, is just right under the Big East. It's almost a carbon copy of what that level could be. Again, look at Butler was in the A-10 for a season and then hopped Xavier and of course mm-hmm. like that. So we're right there. And I think for a basketball centric school, that's what you need. You need a basketball focused conference. We're not better off by going to like a conference that some schools have football and some schools don't. Yeah. And again, I think the dynamic works for us, but who knows? I don't think anyone else in our conference besides Mass really has potentially an opportunity to leave, but overall it's honestly what's been getting me, and I think basketball is gonna be fine. I've been just getting annoyed but just potentially the liability and issue with other sports, just kids traveling mm-hmm. across the whole country late, and also I don't know if their team budgets can afford it, so that's where I'm also confused. No one's planning on busing from LA to New Brunswick, New Jersey for a softball game, so We'll have to see. And again, I know they're bigger conferences, so someone could say, hey, they got the money. Who knows? I have no clue, but that's how I feel. What about you? What's your temperature? What's your, again, it's a crazy thing, but you probably got some take.
Yeah, I think the one thing I've seen that I think actually kind of makes sense to me is that I think football just needs to do its own thing, like in general, like NCAA football, like conferences need to be like, oh, you know, what University of Texas is in this conference for football, and then they're in, you know, X other conference for all the rest of sports, because it is, it's just getting to be too much. It's not okay for these other athletes who like are on, you know, like you said, softball, women's soccer, even baseball. I feel like baseball doesn't make money, you know, like it's football makes money, and then men's basketball might make money, and that's it. Like, those are your money making sports. I truthfully just think that like football needs to figure out a way to like either break away from like NCAA or like create its own conferences. Like, I mean, NCAA in and of itself is at least losing its like power, you know, like, I don't know, like I feel like conferences give harder punishments for issues than the NCAA does sometimes. So I would like to see, I know we're probably nowhere near that, but I do think that makes a lot of sense. Like, yeah, sure, let USC football travel to go play Rutgers, but like let USC softball stay and play, you know, four games in the away games in that in the LA area against other local schools where they've already created these rivalries and like all these players who commit to that school because they want to stay in that area in order for their families to be able to come see them play games. So is it exciting? Yeah, sure it is, because for like all our childhood and most of our like teenager whatever years, like people didn't like, they didn't change conferences or very, very infrequently. And now it's like every year it's like 8 more teams or 12 more teams. Like, there's these huge conversations about whatever the Pac-12 is going to be now. And like, it's just kind of too much to take in. But I hope they figure something out, because at the end of the day, they are student athletes, right? Like, they are students first, and they have to figure out how to get a good education. And I think having players travel in less than ideal conditions once a week, if not more, halfway across the country or fully across the country is just not feasible, and it's not conducive to like a learning environment. So
I think it's no good
in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right that in the idea, and again, we kind of even see it, right? Our men's volleyball team doesn't, there's no A-10 men's volleyball, mm-hmm. So they still participate in the MEVA, which is the Midwestern kind of level, right? So for, mm-hmm. and even I think, I remember our women's golf, I believe, is it our women's golf?
There was another sport that did something like that too.
Yeah, they like, there's no A-10, so they had to join, I think, another conference, right? Because they couldn't. So it's like at a certain point, yeah, I think some teams, and then it's always going to come down to money and bargaining agreements probably or all this. But at a certain point, yeah, I think if football runs every single team from rowing even, right, swimming and diving, look at the controversy even, right? These conferences are, regardless of the level of conference, even I go back to UIC, I think they have a great swimming and diving program, but the Summit League, whatever, wasn't going to let them compete because they were leaving for the Valley, right? So it's like these conferences are really just, in my opinion, nearly screwing the student athlete out of a lot of things, whether it be the chance for an opportunity or also just the stress of making the opportunity be like, oh, we have practice at 4 a.m. and then also we have a 5-hour flight later that day. And it's like, oh, I'm missing class. Like, great. And again, I don't know, it's like, as much as we say there's money and everything in football, like, not that many guys are going pros. Mm-hmm. So it's just one of those things where it's like, we're doing it for the right reasons. I get the money. But I also think it's a little tough. And I do think there is a, to your point, I 100% agree. I think there's a massive break between football and then the next tiers, at least when it comes to just size, magnitude. I know basketball gets its level come March, but just some schools, right, don't have that. So it's one of those things where it's like, if you don't join the big leagues, right, you kind of just get left out. But also the big leagues, I feel like, are leaving out some people behind too. So again, it's a interesting topic. I think last year was NIL and somewhat of conference realignment, right, with everything. And now it's just like everyone leaves. And I saw Missouri, I think was their head coach of football, was like, oh, the adults. He literally said, I think NIL I thought was going to be something. And he goes, no, the adults just get to decide when things change. So who knows? Yeah. But the temperature across all NCAA is very interesting for sure. And who knows? For all you know, the Midwest is going to include New Mexico and Florida and Maine in one state, I guess. So, right? That's what it might look like. But who knows? But we'll see. But, hey, again, I don't want to call ourselves out, but we are playing in a conference that is called the Atlantic 10. And
yeah.
We do not touch the Atlantic. So, there we go.
I do have so women's golf, the follow-up. They are in the Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference, the MAC.
Oh, the MAC. Yeah.
But then the only other teams, so it's for women's golf, it's Albany, Dayton, interesting, Fairfield, LaSalle, Loyola, Mount St. Mary's, Niagara, Quinnipiac, and Siena. So the only other two, like, A-10 teams are Dayton and LaSalle. But
yeah, I guess it kind of makes sense. For women's golf.
Yeah, gotcha, exactly. Gotcha. For women's golf in the MAC.
Gotcha. Yeah, because the MAC is traditionally in Iona, Manhattan, that and St. Peter's, right? That's their conference.
Yes. Yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah, it's cool. Going to be one. I think it's just going to be like NIL. It's going to be something that's going to come up, and we're going to have to talk about it, and we're going to have to see where it takes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of no telling. I'm sure the people who sign the big checks are probably going to be the ones that make the decisions at the end of the day, unfortunately.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. All right, cool. Yeah, thank you all for joining us for a little just spontaneous episode here. I wish I could tell you that we'll definitely be back, you know, in a week or two, but I don't know that. We will definitely at some point come back to semi-regular episodes, at least a full month before the season starts. So beginning of October, I think you can definitely, or end of September, like, look forward to, maybe every other week for a little bit. And then once the season starts, then it'll definitely be like as regular as we can do it. And then it will be just like far more just like game recaps. I think that's going to be the big thing, game recaps, and maybe a little bit of recruiting as well. But that is, I think, the plan for now. Some changes we'll definitely let you all know. But I think that is going to do it here from Buck and Lou at Podcast 63 on a random summer episode. So thank you all for listening. And don't forget, always remember, go Blurs.